It isn't every morning you wake up bubbling with creative fervour and can't wait to get down the garden to your literary hut or author's writing chalet to rattle off a staggering new twist that came to you in the night. In fact, things are apt to go the other way with me. I get down there, all right, but as nothing has come to me in the night but the opening of Beethoven's Fifth being snored by the lady in the next bed, all I can do with a typewriter is change the ribbon and muck out the O's and E's with a pin. You'd think a machine that's had its ribbon changed and its O's and E's mucked out would show a bit of gratitude and start creating. Nothing of the kind. It just sits there. And so do you. This wouldn't be the view of the lady in the next bed, mind you, who is my wife Diana and writes like a machine gun. Even her nom de plume of Magnolia Badminton seems no bar to creative bubbling. It would be to me. I should keep pausing to brood on it. Not her, though. Oh, no. Blonde heiresses in Lamborghini convertibles, tanned heroes with tapering torsos, they leap out of her typewriter as if they'd just had the 4-minute warning. And before you can say Lithuanian translation writes, she's on page one of another lot. I make these remarks in a spirit of admiration, by the way. And it happens, in any case, that on this particular Monday morning, I woke up with as much creative fervour as the next man. Or woman, even. And between 5 a.m. and 8, I'd got a page and a half of dialogue down that made John le Carré look tongue-tied. I was trying to think what I'd eaten yesterday to cause this feast of reason and flow of soul, because it would be well worth making a note of, when I had one of those interruptions which, as things turned out, were to characterise the whole of my working week. "I think you'd better not look, madam," said the Ipsnector, closing the door behind him. "Oh, Inspector. Oh, never mind. It's not a pleasant sight," he added with rough kindness.
"Gerald?"
"Oh, really, my nerves."
"It's all right, it's only me."
"It is not a pleasant sight."
"I know, I'm not up yet."
"Hmm? No, not you, wife of my heart. None pleasanter."
"Do you want any toast?"
"Even with one pyjama leg outside your Wellingtons. Hang on there. Aren't they my Wellingtons?"
"The cat's asleep in one of mine." "Well, she was just now."
"Good morning, cat."
"Sorry."
"What does it matter, my little tousle-headed novelist and treasure beyond rubies?"
"Are you all right?" "Not you, you dope."
"Ah, but she knows, you see. She knows that a man and wife who once shared their honeymoon toothbrush and ate breakfast off the same plate..."
"That was before her time."
"To put it mildly, but what of that? After such intimacy, I was only going to say, they can wear each other's boots and no excuse is necessary. What were you going to say?"
"The toaster's busted,"
he added with rough kindness. "Right, new paragraph.
So if you want any toast..."
"Very kind."
"There isn't any, I was only going to say."
"Put it anywhere, darling, would you? I look forward to it."
"I suppose you couldn't listen a minute."
"No longer, I'm bubbling today."
"I thought you were up very early."
"With creative fervour." "Sergeant, get the lady a chair," he continued.
"He had manners, I'll give him that."
"Oh yes, that's character drawing. He looks like an Easter Island carving, but beneath his stern outside..." "Oh, darling, I am sorry. You're standing with your stern outside all this time. Bring it in."
"Thank you."
"And take yours out. There isn't room for three."
"Now, where should I put it?"
Well, let's see. Why not here, if you don't mind a warm seat?"
"Put this."
"What's that?"
"I keep saying you need glasses."
"Well, I can see it's the toaster."
"Well done. It's busted."
"Well, it takes time to adjust."
"It well may. I've been trying."
"In these alien surroundings of old ribbon, coffee mugs, stapling machines and general literary equipment."
"Such as socks?"
"Exactly. They're for putting on when the muse fails. As it brooked no delay this morning..."
"It had better brook some now if you want any toast."
"I see. Right. Well, I think if you look inside that newspaper on the windowsill you're wedged on..."
"This one?"
"That's the one you're wedged on, I believe."
"I mean this paper. As you well know, why must you always be so witty?"
"It's only when I'm bubbling. Has it a note on the front?"
"It has."
"In my unmistakable hand?"
"In your hand, sir."
"Mm-hmm.
See page 9 for furry mother. Here."
"Why must you be? Funny murder, it says." "Furry mother, indeed. Gerald Durrell may make a note to cut out things about furry mothers. Gerald Potter, no."
"How about mending the toaster?"
"Just so. Now, there's a screwdriver tucked in here, if I remember rightly. Damn, I remember wrongly. Where did they come from?
Give me those. No wonder I've been tearing bacon rind off by hand. What have you been using them for?
I'm trying to think.
They're my best bacon scissors.
Well, either I was going to cut out the funny mother, the furry murder, or I was working out if a stab with the blades open would pass for a snake bite.
You'd have to make it a big snake.
Oh, well, naturally. About rattlesnake size. It would change the murder site from Putney, but what the hell? I could... Oh, ah, no, I remember. I put them in there to remind me where the screwdriver was.
And where was that?
I've forgotten now.
What's this stuck in the back of the radio?
Ah, good, yes. The very screwdriver. Look, don't take it out.
Oh, is it to remind you of something?
It's to stop the radio playing.
I'm a fool. I should have realised that.
Okay, then. Take it out.
Okay, then.
Mm-hmm. The taunt could only
My
be maintained God. With the same agreement...
Well, I told you, stick it back in.
Where does it stick?
Where you unstuck it, you dope.
It won't go.
Well, of course it goes.
It won't.
Yes, it will. Give it to me.
I can do it.
You can't.
I can do it.
Let me have it, woman.
Putative confrontation areas would attract four other surveillance.
There. What could be simpler?
Yes, I suppose nothing, except switching off the off switch.
And how would you do that with this particular radio?
Nothing simpler. Mm-hmm. You just... Oh, I see. Mm. It's gone. Isn't that it, in the cigar box with the tubes of glue?
No, it is not. That's a rubber doorstop. Look, darling, don't move things. I know where everything is out here.
What's the light meter for?
It isn't for anything. I use its box for paper clips.
Oh, are those the glue that lifts a car after 15 minutes?
I haven't tried that. Diana, if you would very kindly...
Oh, why all the buttons?
They come off shirts. Diana, could you go now?
On the radio.
What? Where?
Where it says stop, play, roulette. Those buttons.
Well, that's the tape part. Now, go out, can't you?
Does it stop, play, roulette with the screwdriver in?
It doesn't matter. It's private.
What's on it?
I'm on it. I try dialogue.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
Now, get away from it. Oh, no, look, really, this whole morning is going. How do you think I can...
Play?
Closing the door behind him.
Oh.
No, closing the door. Bloody fool, you wouldn't close it in front of him.
Give me that.
It's not a pretty sight.
No, it's lovely.
Pretty sight? Pleasant sight.
Diana!
Now get away!
A pleasant sight, comma, close quote.
Let it go!
The rough kindness.
Look, for heaven's
quote.
Sake, woman, you...
Sergeant, he continued. Get
will you
the
turn it
continued.
Off? The you switch... Please, for heaven's sake,
Mind
Diana!
Mind the screwdriver!
Later today on Radio 4,
there is
you can learn
point
why
of
medical
up
students...
Crack a bone to come out here. So that was Monday. Tuesday came next, because even in a poorly organised household you have to bow to the basics... But I shan't go on to the Tuesday without clearing up possible misunderstandings. E.g., please don't get the idea that Gerald C. Potter is a one-screwdriver man. Screwdrivers abound at the Potter residence, many with handles. The same goes for radios. From the tranny we can't bring ourselves to use, having noticed too late that it bears the brand name Little Jazz Boy, to the sitting room music centre, of a size that hardly leaves any sitting room. And with an owner's manual running to 28 pages in German, Swedish, Portuguese, Sanskrit, and a bit of English somewhere that you can never find. So I won't say anything about the miracle of our remote-control TV handset and the way you only have to sneeze at it and it switches channels from ski jumping to an amazing close-up of Frank Muir. No, no, indeed. My theme, such as it is the technological revolution in all its marvellous manifestations. And its infinite capacity for pricking the creative bubble wherever it may be found. On the Tuesday, as it happened, it was Diana's bubble. But we try to share out joys and sorrows, so it wasn't long before mine was getting the same treatment. I was going well out in the shed, not displeased at having cured Monday's toaster trouble by switching it on at the wall, when the distress call came through on the intercom. A dark... viscous fluid. Dark, viscous and fluid, yes?
Who's that? Are you there, Gerald? Roll your trousers up and take your socks off. Can you hear me? Leave your shoes and get in here. I heard the cat lapping under the grandfather. Are you there? Get in here. It's Diana. It's me.
Ah, I was wondering.
Get off the line. I'm telephoning. What's the number?
How is Madame Recamier feeling now? Oh, damn this sideboard.
Who's she? Is she wet? I'm feeling wet.
She was painted on a sofa, reclining.
I'm reclining.
Yes, yeah, she looked like that. But I don't think she... Oh! Hell's teeth! Even old next-door Giebel has his drinks cupboard on the wall.
Don't think she what?
And a courtesy light when the door opens. What? Oh, I don't think she had her trousers off.
Oh, well. When was she?
Oh, my knees are killing me down here. When was who?
Madame Reclinier.
18th century, I think. Have you dried your feet?
No, just hung them out.
I'll come and dry them when I've done this.
If she was 18th century, she wouldn't have had to take them off because her switch-on-and-forget washing machine wouldn't fill the house with 6 inches of suds the minute her back was turned, and her 24-hour servicing service only answer its emergency number with a recording saying it would come on Friday on account of staff shortage. Remember when we bought it, we said, what bliss, just switch on and forget and get some writing done. I mean Friday. Friday!
Oh, yeah, that's a new lot. Right, now then. Will this towel be all right if I unwind it?
Isn't it my trousers?
Is it?
I had to throw everything in here.
Let's see. Oh, so you did. My shirt, actually. Right, move up a bit, can't you?
It'll dry me wetter than before.
No, it won't. One of the sleeves isn't bad. Give me a foot.
Which one?
The one with the button off.
Which foot I'm talking about?
Oh, so any foot. This foot.
Ow! Not that one!
Now what?
That's the one I trod on a submerged wreck with.
You did? Oh, darling, where?
In the submerged kitchen.
Where on the foot?
Oh, about there. I think it was the bean slicer.
Let's see. Oh, it doesn't appear to have been sliced.
Ah. Funny, funny, funny.
No, I'm sorry, darling. I didn't mean that. I promise you. I just happened to say it.
I'll do them. Give me the towel.
Shirt. You don't really think I'd joke about a sliced bean? I mean foot.
Oh, never mind. What were you doing at the sideboard, apart from groaning and cursing?
Putting the bottles away. It could turn me off drink for good, having to squat down there every time. Old Giebel...
Go and get squatting again.
I have only just...
It didn't occur to you, did it, that I might want another?
Oh, Diana.
On a day like this has been so far, and a bit less measly with the brandy, and cut down the ginger by about 2 inches, and not so much ice. It may have been all right for Madame Camisole, mopping up a flood on only 2 tiny drinks.
I could have talked to her like an uncle, of course. Not an easy relationship to establish between man and wife, but I could have. If only on the ground that your average girl novelist, in a state of shock from washing machine explosions, isn't likely to resume production with a quarter of VSOP swilling around in her petite intestines. I didn't, in fact, and if I had, I should have looked a bit silly. Because no sooner had I administered the further dosage and got the blasted bottles back in than she sprang up like a giant refreshed, or as near as you can manage at 5 foot nothing in your bare toes, and padded off to her typewriter, hardly falling over a single piece of furniture. Myself, not being an average girl novelist, things went the other way. When I returned to my writing hut with a mug of dark, viscous fluid full of floating bits... Did I mention that the coffee grinder was on the blink at the time? Just a couple of screeches and a smell of charred socks? I looked at the body in the bath with severely diminished interest. It had lost its zest, seemed lifeless somehow... The sergeant and the inspector hadn't moved from where I'd left them. The useless Burkes. They were not a pretty sight, and there was no way I could see of moving them, either then or later. In short, in the words of the prophet Genesis, the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 8 of chapter 1. Goodbye, Tuesday. And the Wednesday didn't start too well either. I don't want to embarrass you with the intimacies of the Potter bedroom, but as the day dawned, the sun creeping up the curtains, the birds cheeping on the bough, and the lady in the next bed snoring a light obbligato,
So it's amplitude transfer functions, modulation transfer functions...
What the hell?
...inductive transfer
Get out!
...any amount
Who's
of
that?
Transfer
What's that?
Functions...
Who's that? What's
...all
that?
Depending on the core...
I can't find the thing!
I can't find the thing! Find it before!
Look, I am also trying, damn it!
Bang it!
What do you think I'm doing?
Round the back, bang the back!
God.
God. I thought it was an earthquake.
I thought it was the Russians.
Okay, then, what are
you? No.
Get out! Get off!
Hit it round the back!
Belt up, blast you!
Pull it plug out!
I can't reach!
Pull it out!
Come out! Go! God!
My God!
Yeah. Yes, indeed. In the year 1874, in a small Italian town, when a certain Signora Marconi gave birth to a bouncing baby boy, little did she think.
Go and make the tea.
Yes, I'll do that.
Think what?
Slippers. What? Oh, that's all. Little did she think. People should not rush into things.
I see the army seized control in Bolivia.
That's exactly what I was afraid of.
More coffee?
Not likely.
Never mind. He's coming to mend the stereo tomorrow. He can look at it.
Ugh, it's about all it's fit for.
Have you got anything about the RSPCA releasing 200 snakes from a swimming pool in Clapham? Marmalade, please. Thank you. Ugh, you've put the spoon right down in it again. I mean, look at the coffee grinder.
No, I haven't. I'm reading this. You don't get much about released snakes and operating instructions for... what is it? For a long-wave, medium-wave, frequency modulation electronic clock radio with pre-setting facility to wake up to and built-in sweet music alarm.
Wouldn't you think a man who...
with 8 switches and 14 buttons includes unique snooze feature and accidental erasure check?
I would. I'd think a man who can get high whistles out of a stereo could make a coffee grinder grind and think nothing of it.
I see. Oh, yes. Yet I thought for a minute I didn't know what you were talking about. Toast, please. No, you're off Bolivia now. And derelict snakes. Butter, please.
After all, if a little tiny cat can detect washing machine leaks by lapping biological detergent under the grandfather clock... Yes. That's for us to say.
Shut up. You had praise all yesterday.
And a whole personal pilchard. No, you can't. It was the last in the tin. Darling... Gerald?
Please continue.
Did I call you a fool? In bed?
Never out loud.
This morning, when the Open University suddenly opened, that I'm still trembling from.
I don't keep records of those things.
I called you a fool. Can I withdraw that?
Diana, you know you can. You know I can refuse you nothing.
Darling.
You want to give me a reason?
You're spreading with the butter knife.
And what better reason, my winsome little kimono-clad sweetheart, with a bit of front hair in your eye?
Sorry, it was me. The fool was.
With all controls preset, as in wake to music position...
Let me tell you.
Press the slow button 6 and the sleep button 4.
You know Winnie Pilling, part-time at the Citizen's Advice with very thick glasses and a Dalmatian?
No.
That's her. Well, I thought, after you were taping your body in the bath on Monday, remember?
To cut a long apology short, an amazing story was then unfolded. Novelist Badminton, it seemed, who writes while others sleep, also sleeps while others write, but let's not get into literary shift work, had decided, in the wee small hours of Wednesday, to dabble in technology. She'd borrowed my bedside electronic clock radio with pre-set wake-up music, which I always tune to a whisper to spare the slumbering ears on the adjacent pillow, and taped Chapter 11 of Sin Without Shame, if I've got that right. Well, she's not very technically minded, except that she can work a washing machine, yes, when working, by spinning dials that say large, short, spin, small, cold, medium, rinse, full flaps and artificial horizon. So naturally, when she returned it to Biss, the entire mechanism was in a state of disarray. This meant, in layman's terms, that instead of waking me at 6 with a little muted Mendelssohn, it took the roof off at 5 with sinusoidal transfer functions and similar. And as I had to spend most of Wednesday undoing her mischief, the fool, and instructing on correct procedures for future reference...
You mean I hold down buttons 4, 11 and 9 while I press the off on the speaker monitor and the R switch? What's the R for?
Just do it.
Is it half a rinse? There, I'm doing that. Now what?
Just press the stop.
What's all that tape coming out of the back?
The stop, damn it, the stop, you daft little ape. Oh, here, let me get your great fist out of it. So eventually, as far as my body in the bath was concerned, that was the Wednesday gone. The evening and the morning were the third day. And on the Thursday, though I was down the garden at 6 and 1.5 paragraphs done by 9, things were again to take a turn for the worse.
Right. Madam, said the inspector, do you identify this husband as your body? Oh, blast! X, bloody X. Come in. I'm just doing some X-ing. And how are you today, sweetheart of all my dreams and prettiest girl on the campus?
Been up the arse. Couldn't get no reply.
Oh, well, you wouldn't. Now then, I am terribly sorry. I thought you were a wife of mine, risen betimes, which she usually doesn't.
Mine's like that. They could be right slags.
Yes. I do apologise.
Heard you working on your watch. Come down here.
Good. Yes, I'm so sorry. I was expecting you tomorrow, you see.
Thursday it says on this. Mr. Potting, Thursday AM. You're Mr. Potting?
Yeah, I am indeed, if that's what it says on that.
Right then. It's another £5 this time.
Oh, very reasonable. Well, if you could just back out. Sorry. Bit cramped in here.
Right, girl.
And I'll lead the way. While you're here, you might look at a few other things.
Don't know if I can look at nothing.
I expect you've noticed the radio back there with the screwdriver stuck in it.
Not to notice, no.
Then there's my bedside alarm thing and the coffee grinder.
Come again, girl. I'm not with you.
And mind this bucket over the rhubarb.
Beg pardon?
I ought to move that. It seems silly, an expert on the premises, and not do everything. Here we are, then. Come along in, and I'll show you. He keeps doing these high whistles, you see. Here we are, in here.
Aye?
One sitting room, one high whistling hi-fi. I'll leave you to it, then.
You do get them. I'll say bloody that.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite...
If that's a washing machine, it's not one of ours.
A washing machine? Oh! Oh, I see. So you aren't the stereo man.
You could say that. I'm just calling...
You're the day early washing machine man to fix the washing machine. Oh, fool Potter.
Don't know nothing about fixing nothing. I'm just...
Gerald!
They come from Croydon, that lot.
Darling, listen to this. I'm coming down.
No, Diana.
I'm just collecting the £50 servicing charge.
Look out.
Gerald, look, I've just recorded you.
I said look out.
Good morning, madam.
No, well, I've tried to be objective, as always. But I still don't see that it was my fault if she came galloping down in nothing but her knickers and a high-dynamic, low-noise chromium dioxide cassette to be embraced by a winded stranger. She took another view, with Umbridge retiring to her study or back bedroom and only emerging for such essentials as preparing little trays for one. A chill wind blew through the marbled colonnades of the Potter residence. The evening and the morning weren't only the fourth day, in fact, but the fifth and sixth as well. And there was silence. She did hand me a note on the Friday, but nothing in the nature of an olive branch. If men come, am out, it said. They didn't come, naturally, and I was sorry. They could have been conversation pegs, which remained in short supply. It was only on the Saturday night, when the miracle remote-controlled handset wouldn't do anything but switch the TV off, that a peg came out of the blue. With nothing to look at but each other, and that ruled out under a tacit agreement, taciter with her than me, actually, I reached out to the high-whistling hi-fi and found a tape in there that startled me into speech, in spite of myself. Hello. I didn't know we got this. Diana? That reminds me. Darling, I've been meaning to ask you. Darling, I've kept meaning to ask you.
Keep meaning.
Soft, it speaks. Hamlet's ghost.
What?
Nothing.
Good.
Well, his father's ghost.
Shut up.
On the battlements.
Shut up anywhere.
Right. Who's Winnie Pilling?
Never mind.
Apart from having thick glasses and a spotted dog giving citizens advice.
What do you care?
I care very much.
No, you don't.
I do if you do.
Why should I do?
I thought you did.
What if I did?
Then I would.
No, you wouldn't.
How do you know?
I know you wouldn't.
You know I would.
Shut up.
All right.
Good.
Fine. In that case, if you don't mind a high whistle, I have a fancy to play this tape of Barcarolle by Winnie Pilling.
Oh, you haven't, have you?
Very much. Would you mind?
Not really.
You would?
No, I wouldn't. Actually, it's for Winnie Pilling, actually. Only the Barcarolle got left on when I did the label, and you know my writing.
I love your writing.
She's a spare-time typist with a million words a minute. It's my last chapter. She's going to transmute it.
Scribe.
Scribe it.
Clever creature.
She is.
I meant you is.
You'll tell me exactly what you think.
Of course, darling. Here goes. Do I ever lie to you? Could I in any circumstances?
Shh. Chapter the last. Felicity stretched her slim brown legs luxuriously on the silver sands. She knew today that she loved him, loved the strong blonde hair, the blue of his dancing eyes. Last night, beneath the crescent moon...
Incredible. It was the only word, and I told her so. She was delighted. And so was I. I mean that she was delighted, you know. I haven't heard yet how delighted Winnie Pilling was, but they have strong nerves in those citizens' advice places. So it was a happy ending all round, really. The only thing was, the whole incredible chapter went through without a high whistle to be heard. That's technology for you. And you know how embarrassing it is when stereo men come to men's stereos and you can't find a damn thing wrong with them. It's got to hang over my body in the bath like nobody's business. Damn it. Thank you.